The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. We are here this week with our lovely guest, Sherry Soprani. Or Soprani?
Soprani.
Sherry Soprani. Sorry, I said that wrong. How you doing, Sherry?
I'm good. Mika Mo, it's good to be here. I love Mika. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to have you. I think I met you like 2 years ago.
When I first started, a year and a half.
A year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Damn, you have not been doing comedy that long as well. No. But you be outside, though.
Yeah, I'm grinding.
For a new person, you be outside. So I appreciate you for that. Mm-hmm. You have your own podcast. I did your podcast. What's it called? The Degenerate Boomer?
Yeah, with Cindy Arena. Shout out, Cindy.
We had Cindy on last year. She was talking about gastric bypass. Mm. Yeah. So I hope she took the, I don't know, if you go back to the episode from last season. But yeah, Cindy Arena is your partner. And yeah, you've been out here grinding for the last 2 years.
Yeah, just hustling, just grinding. My work ethic is crazy because I'm old. So
I got it. And I like that Sherry's always talking about being old, so that's funny. Where are you from? Delaware?
I'm from Delaware originally. Yeah.
Okay, but you've been in New York forever.
Almost 20 years.
Okay, yeah. So that's you're New
half
York.
Half my life. Yeah.
You're New York at this point. Mm-hmm. And then also another thing about Sherry that's very, very funny and interesting is that you're kind of crazy.
I'm a wild beep. We allowed to curse or no?
Yeah, you can curse.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a wild bitch, bro. Yeah, you crazy as hell.
I've tamed down a lot.
Okay, you were crazier before.
Yeah, I'm a reformed criminal and recovering addict.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Okay, reformed criminal, recovering addict. Yeah. I see you.
Yeah.
But that, I do like your crazy ass.
I appreciate you.
So I don't know. How is it like doing comedy 1.5 years in? I guess I'm not that long doing comedy, but it seems like.
No, yeah. I had to figure it out. You know, I had to just figure it. There's no like blueprint for it, you know, and.
You're still figuring it out.
I'm still doing just premises, setups, and then like just getting good at punchlines.
Okay.
Barely.
Got it.
I'm like figuring out how to maneuver the punchline in, because that's the hardest part for me is the punchline.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, you'll get there. It's a journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of figure out the punchline work backwards.
Okay.
But like, this would be funny, but this is not why we're here. Sorry to talk about comedy.
No. We got to throw it in there.
You got to throw it in there. Yeah. But this is We're Done Here Pod, so emotional wellness comedy podcast, because we are comedians at the end of the day, but we're here to talk about emotional wellness, and we're actually going to talk about a topic that we've talked about before, mm-hmm. Which is coming out. But we've never had a lesbian talk about it. Yeah. And like, do you identify? Because if you identify as weird shit, but like, you was a lesbian, right?
I am a lesbian and I'm riding that wave until the day that I die.
Okay. So, tell us about your coming out story. Tell us, like,
I came out in 1996.
Damn. Okay.
I was 14 years old in Delaware. I was the only gay person in like the whole.
You were not the
area.
Only gay.
I was the only out person. There was these lesbians up the street that were in their 50s, and they both had mullets and wore flannels and like chain wallets and shit.
Okay, that's weird.
But other than that, I didn't. No one in my high school was gay. No one in my friend group was gay. So I had to go underground. It was underground. It's mainstream now.
Yeah, being
it's mainstream
gay nowadays,
now.
But
yeah.
Not in 96.
No, it was wild. It was like the wild west.
You came out like just because.
Yeah, see, I was 14, and it was the summer going into ninth grade, and I was going to an all-girls Catholic high school,
because
I had gotten kicked out of public school.
God, that makes sense.
And
that
so
sucks.
I was nervous, you know, I was nervous, and I had gotten drunk one night off, I think it was St. Ives Special Brew in Alizé. You remember
Special
that drink?
Brew!
And I told all my friends, just drunk, you know, so that it just came out. And then
you told your friends drunk? Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
It just
came out.
And then, well, I told them I was bi.
Were they like, why is everybody bi at the beginning?
Because I was scared and had a lot of shame.
No, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But were they like, we knew? Or they were
Yeah.
Oh,
they could tell.
They knew. Okay, they could tell.
They could tell, yeah.
They could tell. But were you wearing like, because the back in the 90s, yeah. Everybody used to wear baggy shit, right?
It's all back now.
Oh, yeah. All no, the same. I noticed that. All... Sorry, were you wearing, like, were you dressing lesbian? Not to be lesbian.
No, yeah. I mean, that's I dress like I do now, pretty much. It's like Jenko jeans. You remember them? The wide-legged.
The big
skater
jeans.
Yeah. I had a...
He was a skater boy.
Sissy little boy.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's why I mess with... I love Mika. I love it. No, and I had long hair, and I... shaved the back of my head. They call it an undercut now.
Oh.
But back then, like I said, it's like the lesbian bat signal.
Okay.
You know, like, if you saw that, man, you were like, yeah,
okay,
that girl,
got it.
That girl likes the, you know what I mean, tatas.
Got it. So in Delaware, you're the only lesbian out. So how does prom look? How does social non-existent?
I never went to prom. I never went to homecoming. I never went to any of the dances. Oh. I would go and hang out at the dances and like smoke weed after or drink after. But yeah, no, I never. I also got kicked out of high school in 11th grade for being gay.
For being gay? Wait, talk about that a little bit.
It was it's an Italian Catholic high school, and you got kicked out if they found out you were gay or pregnant because it's Catholic.
Oh, yeah, damn, the Catholics are.
Yeah.
Are you Italian?
I mean, I was born and raised Catholic, but I mean,
so they literally kicked you out for being gay.
They did,
and there's no like that's like okay because it's religion. Oh God, that's
yeah,
there's
no, and then the other girls got kicked out for being pregnant. So.
Oh, okay, I'm sure there was mad pregnant bitches at that school.
There was. Three or four.
Okay.
Yeah.
All those bitches got kicked out?
Yeah, yeah.
And they wanted them to keep them babies, too.
They did keep them.
Oh,
they
wow,
kept
these fucking Catholics.
They got kicked out for you guys being gay, and they got kicked out for being straight.
Yeah, exactly. 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 They got kicked out for
being straight.
Right. Both ends of the spectrum.
That is why. Wait, so how did your family take you coming out?
My mom, so we didn't have the internet or cell phones or anything like that back then, so I used to write letters to my girlfriend.
Okay. Oh, you had a girlfriend, though?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, look at you.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I met her in, coffee shops at, spoken word.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't go there because I like spoken word or anything. I just knew, maybe girls who
the
like girls would go there. Yeah, it's like poetry and shit. I was like...
Yeah, you know bitches like poetry.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, then bitches will be in there, you know? So I used to write her letters, and then she would write me back because she lived, a half hour away, and we didn't drive because we were still too young, and my mom found one of the letters. She sat me down and she was like, white trash as hell, you know, ghetto white trash. Like, you a lesbian? What are you, a lesbian? My daughter is not gonna be no lesbian. And I was just like, no, mom, I'm bi. I like guys and girls, but I was lying.
Okay, Did you hook up with guys just to be
no,
like,
no, I've had sex with five guys.
Oh, that's a lot of men.
Yeah, one time each. Well, one guy was a few times, but one time each.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know if there's a gold star, whatever. Anyway.
That's this generation.
God, yeah, they be doing a lot of shit.
Yeah, I had to figure it out.
So, all right, so your mom is like, and so then did she accept it eventually?
No, I got kicked out at 14.
At the house? Too?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was living with, I was also in and out of rehab.
Okay,
so a lot of moving parts.
It's not about that, but what type of drugs? Were you doing drugs to deal with your sexuality?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
what type
of
drugs you not to get in your business?
No, I used to shoot heroin.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that. Not that I needed to know, but.
I've been clean for over a decade.
That's a long time.
So,
also hard to get on fucking heroin.
I had to get on methadone.
Yeah, as most people do.
I had to get on methadone and then. You figure it out, you know.
No, that was congratulations to you. That's a big, We should have did an episode of that, but I like this coming out story. How's all entangled?
It's crazy. I love it.
Well, not to be, I love your trauma, but
no, it made me who I am, and I'm grateful.
So you got kicked out of school, then you get kicked out of your house.
Oh, I got kicked out later in school. So I got kicked out of my house in I was in 10th grade at that point when she found out, and I lived with. So I was in and out of AA and NA.
Got it.
And
you were younger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I started going to, that's when I first learned crowd work. In the AA rooms, baby, you know. Just talking shit in AA to people. No, I'm just
my
kidding.
Name.
So my sponsors, I would live with them. And then we had each sponsor had their sponsor. And so they would rotate houses where I would stay.
Oh, wow.
So I had a community and a family. It was foster care pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's that's crazy.
They all took turns giving me rides to school, giving me bus passes, feeding me. Sometimes my mom would send them money. She would send them money sometimes
for
food.
But was she really bad? Was she just did she knew these people were taking care of her children?
I mean, a part of me wanted to leave too. So it was a push and a pull.
You have siblings?
I have a younger brother.
Got it. And he just stayed in the house unbothered?
Yeah, he's a straight white male, likes guns and cars and, you know.
He's just okay.
He's yeah.
Got it. Wow, that's crazy. That's tough. So your sponsor, you found community within the AA community, which is AA, honestly, the big book and all the other shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great foundation for, discovering who you are.
I live by all those principles today.
Got
even though I drink and smoke weed now.
Whatever.
But
such is life.
Yeah. Yeah, inventory, moral inventory, my shortcomings, you know.
Yes.
A lot of it's religious, too.
A lot of it's on some religious bullshit.
A lot of the steps are religious, yeah. But I'm not, I'm, I'm like spiritual. I'm not a, you know, atheist or anything.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. So you have this community. Are there queer people in that community you can look up to or connect with, or not really?
There was one lesbian. She was older. She was in her 50s. But yeah, no, there's some older gay men that were pretty cool.
Okay.
But yeah, no, for the most part, it was all brand new. There was no gay people on TV yet. Like, remember Roseanne had like Darlene, who kind of looked like me,
but she was still straight.
Darlene had a boyfriend.
She was definitely a lesbian.
Yeah, she had a boyfriend. We didn't really have any, there was no Ellen yet. There was no Queer Eye. No, we didn't have any of that. Ellen came out much later. There was no one to look at and be like, you know, like, no, like musicians, no one like that I could think of. It came later in the 2000s, but not in that time period. So.
Got it. So how do you, so what do you do from there? You have no, like, what happens next? Like, in terms of, like, after high school?
I got kicked out in 11th grade, and then I got my GED. I graduated with my GED in the year 2000, which would have been the same year I graduated high school. So then I got with this girl who was a few years older than me.
Okay.
And she, you know, she pretty much was like my sugar mama and like took care of me.
Get you a sugar mama. I don't know if she was predatory. I don't know how much older she was, but get you a sugar mama within your age range.
Yeah. She was straight. She has kids now and stuff, but.
She was straight.
Yeah, she was. I mean, we got down, you know what I mean? We got down and dirty with it, but yeah, she's 7 years I was with her, but in between those 7 years, I was messing with other people. She was messing with other people, but I got like an apartment with her, and like, you know, like at 17, I got my first apartment with her, and just try to figure it out, you know.
That makes sense. Oh my God, that's so traumatic. So you kind of feel like your relationship with her kind of helped you figure out who you was, who you were in your sexuality, who you were as a person. So did that help you mentally, or was that a destructive time period? Tell us about, like...
Before I met my wife now, messed with nothing but crazy girls.
Where did you meet your wife?
I met her in here in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's very normal, opposite of me.
Your wife is pretty normal. She's like a normal, nice woman.
She's a teacher, she's an author, like, she's a regular, degular girl, but... I mean, she's freaking to bed, you know what I mean, but... she's a lady in the streets, you know?
I do like your wife. So do you feel like when you met
her? She likes you too. She said hello, by the way.
Oh, okay. Told her to hi. Yeah. Do you feel like when you met your wife, you kind of found that stability, or was it like a rocky road after that?
Rocky road. She was like, you're wild. Like, you're too crazy for me. You're wild. If you don't straighten, like, so it came in like bits and pieces. Like, you need to do this to be a better person. Then I would do that. And then I would press the line more and do something else. And she'd be like, you can't do that either.
What were you doing in terms of pressing the line? Was it
getting
around
arrested?
I was stealing
from like CVS and like, DUI.
Got it.
Getting into fights a lot, like fist fights, being drunk and mad and sagging. This is all pre-therapy, so.
Got it. Oh, wow. So your wife, you kind of meet your wife, she's like, I can't deal with this crazy bullshit, bitch.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. So she kind of puts you on that trajectory. And then what do you do to actually, like, reconcile, like, it sounds like you were angry, like, right?
So much rage and anger.
It sounds like you had a lot of rage and anger that you were trying to deal with. So how did you reconcile that? And where did you like leave 12 steps? Like, how did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so how did you come, like, to a better place?
So when I left Delaware is when I left a 12 step program when I moved up here over 20 years ago. So what I did was, My best friend had shot herself in the head in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah. And she made a video and said that I was one of the reasons, because I was like, get your shit together. I was mean. I was a mean person. You know, I was like, you're a loser. You're a bum. Get off the junk. Like, come on. One foot in front of the other. Like, no vulnerability. No.
I regret it
horribly. So from 2015 to like 2018, I was just like so mad, so angry. And, got in a fight with my wife's friends, who are like these really white rich lawyers, and they were like being racist.
Yeah.
And I called them out on it.
Got it.
But I was drunk and I did it in the wrong way. Yeah. Like, it was bad. So she almost lost all her friends because of me, like, flipping out like that.
Got it.
And it's something so minor, you would think I would get better from something else, but it's like all of that led up to that. And I got therapy voluntarily.
Oh, okay.
Not court stipulated, so.
Okay, not court stipulated. She was like, it wasn't court stipulated, bitches. I went voluntarily.
I did.
I like,
got myself a participation ribbon.
So how long have you been in therapy?
3 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, the first year or two was with a female therapist, and then I had to switch to a white male.
Okay.
Because I've had sex with two of my therapists in the past that were women.
What?
Yeah. No,
I
did.
I haven't had sex with none of my therapists.
You know, Delaware was crazy, man.
Y'all wild up in Delaware.
What yeah, but doing? They were in their 20s right out of college.
Okay, so they was ghetto.
It was
therapists.
Still unethical, but like.
Yeah. But why are they sleeping with their patients? But anyway.
Because there weren't many gay people around, so
okay.
It was like.
Okay. Anyway, who knew? But anyway, you got yourself a white man.
So I could relate, not relate more to him, but I could just be more
you
open.
Just be, you're not trying to impress a woman.
Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah.
If I say something that's like out of pocket that I need to get out and say, like a woman might judge me and be like, you're a sociopath, you know? He would be like, try to bring me back and like work it out with me and figure it out. So.
Got it. Okay, that's interesting. So your journey, you have a recent journey. You just started, you started like about 3 years ago in therapy and you've gotten better.
Yeah.
You've been sober. Like, do you have any advice for like, younger, I mean, now it's different because, like, I don't know. Well, it's not different because LGBTQ crimes are up.
They
like,
are.
It's like,
trans crimes are up very, trans black
and
women.
You know, it's like leading. It's like leading all, quote, you know, black people, the racial group is still, black people and Jews are the people that are still, like, we're facing a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, it's the queer community that's facing the most hate.
Yeah.
A man just died in Brooklyn for dancing to Beyonce.
Yeah, they brought up that this bar in Brooklyn, this guy, he set the bar on fire. I don't know if you remember that last year at Pride.
Oh, yeah, that's
set the bar on. It feels like the old days. That's what I told my friend. It feels like the 90s again, early 2000s, like the hate. I think Trump being in office and like led to like a
like this
domino effect. Yeah.
Like people just getting.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice to like younger lesbians who are kind of going through like the same thing you went through and dealing with your sexuality, being angry, dealing with the family, throwing them out and all this other bullshit?
Yeah, I just feel like this generation has so much more emotional intelligence than my generation did. I think they have many, like, a lot more resources that they can reach out to. They have, like, gay straight alliances. They have gay comedy shows. They have gay everything.
Yeah, they do. There are gay
everything's
everything.
Gay.
Even
just,
I produce, like, a queer comedy show. I'm not even queer.
Well, like, you better get me on it. I need to get on that comedy show.
Right.
I'm a year and a half in. She'll put me on there one day. Wow.
We'll
she
see.
Will. She
no,
will.
Okay.
She will.
But go on.
No, but yeah, so I would say, like, lean on your support system.
Yeah.
Like, lean on your support system, your chosen family, and, you know, like, therapy. And, like, work your mental, you know?
No, that's great. I feel like TikTok is helpful. Like, I feel like the young gay kids on TikTok, they find a lot of community there.
They really
do. Not to be all old, but, like, the young gay kids.
Yeah, you know, that TikTok, that ticky-tack there.
On that TikTok.
But if you gotta throw hands. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean,
I still do
that.
Sometimes I still do.
Sherry, you know I be throwing hands.
I know. You just said I'll punch you. We'll go there.
I did tell somebody I would punch him in the face today.
That's why I said, I have your back. Let's go.
Thank you. But, okay, that is really, really helpful. Thank you so much for, like, sharing your story around that. So what do you do now, like, in terms of your day-to-day to make sure, you know, you not only, like, hold yourself accountable to your wife, but you don't backslide? It's been, like, 3 years. Like, what do you do? Is comedy a part of that? Like,
yeah, comedy is a huge part of that because it's like I had to, my jokes are like very traumatic, but I'm trying to like work them to make them be like less traumatic and more funny.
Got it.
You know, because some people are like, ooh.
Yeah.
Cringe.
But okay,
bitch.
I mean, people be cringing, you know? Though. Yeah. But, like, but then, whatever.
And I work it out. I change
this
word.
Comedian.
Yeah, exactly. And I just switch words around or, you know, switch it up, whatever, and just work on that. And I also go to therapy once a week. And I hang out with like good people that I'm aligned with now that I,
finding good people that you're aligned with and not problematic people is very important. Do you feel like is being in comedy triggering at all or not? It's more of a release.
Yeah, because a lot of these people are like younger, like they're like in their like 30s and a lot in their 20s and they're just so sweet and like wholesome and
people are very nice.
Yeah, like I feel like if I would have started comedy when I first moved here 20 years ago, it would have been really harder
like in
the for 90? Me.
Oh, yeah,
it would have been
like early 2000s.
Yeah, like 2004. It would have
New
been
York was
really
crazy back then too.
I know it was crazy. It was still crazy. You know, I don't know if it would have been better or worse, but I just feel like I'm more welcomed now.
God,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm more, even if they're putting me on because they need a gay white girl on their show or whatever, or a gay girl, whatever. I'll do it. You know?
No, like, no, that's true. Yeah, I guess that does make sense. Like, feeling more welcome now, there's being more community. I even joke, like, everyone's queer. I was like, all these white bitches ain't gay.
Man, they're fake bisexuals, bro. Yeah, all of Brooklyn is fake bisexuals.
They're fake because I was like,
you ain't licking pussy, bitch.
She's like, you is not bisexual. You made out with a girl at a party. Shut up.
Right, right.
But okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing that, Sherry. Like, so you have so many interesting stories. I feel like I could talk to you for hours about everything like you went through. But I do like the tips that you gave our audience members. Yeah. So you're kind of done with your trauma of coming out, I assume, or still working through it?
I'm microdosing on mushrooms now.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah, and my therapist recommended it's like this magnetic therapy.
What's that?
It's like transmagnetic therapy, and if you get approved for it, I don't know, you go in and they put fucking magnets on your brain.
I've heard about that too.
It's what it is. They put magnets on your brain. It's for like PTSD. And I'm like, I'm not a war hero. I'm not from the war. And he's like, but you've been shot, you've been stabbed, you've been raped, you've been beaten up, you have fought. If you would have said that you did that in Iraq, what's the difference than Delaware or Philly?
Yeah, but you got PTSD.
Yeah, so he's like, that's where you're, you know, like anger and like, because I'm quick to pop off still.
No, that makes sense.
But I'm like, a lot better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just microdosing. I haven't gotten high on shrooms yet to where I've hallucinated.
Yeah.
But,
I tried to microdose and started hallucinating.
You
so
did?
I was like, I don't know how to microdose.
I just take one of the pieces or two of the pieces of chocolate. So what I'm doing, and then I dream like shapes and colors, and it's like weird shit. Yeah. Or I'll dream something I completely forgot about.
Someone told me the microdose, and I was like, I like looked at the dose, so I did it, and I was like, I'm tripping balls.
Were you?
This is not a fucking microdose. I'm tripping balls. I was sweating. I had to go outside. I was like, my whole fucking day is ruined.
No, that's not microdosing.
I'm like, no, I'm fucking tripping.
You got a strong piece of something.
Right. And I have like the chocolate bar. I'm like, I'm not touching this. I was like, fuck this, like microdose. I'm happy you actually know the right doses and is actually working for you. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's great advice. So at the end of every episode we're done here, we always say what we're not done with.
Okay.
It could be like pop culture or otherwise. What are you not done with? What are you into right now?
I'm into learning more about like new hip hop because I gave up on
new
it.
Hip-hop?
Yeah, I gave up on it. I gave up on
the new hip hop.
I don't know. I'm liking like Travis Scott, Future.
Okay. What about that Sexy Red?
Love Sexy Red. And what's the girl? Ice Spice. Sexy Red can get it, girl. You
Ice Spice or Sexy Red?
Both of them.
Oh, so everyone hates Sexy Red, but
like, I like her. I saw her on Theo Von's podcast.
With Drake. Yeah, is that with him?
Oh yeah. Drake is okay.
Yeah, he's me girl best.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That you're not done with new hip hop. So
I was, and I was giving up on it. And I was only listening to 90s, early 2000s.
Like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
God,
and then my friend's granddaughter came up to see how old I am. I just hosted my friend's granddaughter at my apartment. And I listened to hip hop the whole way, old school. And they're just like, Aunt Sherry, you need to like figure this out. So I said, all right, one car ride a day, I'll listen to new shit on Spotify.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
and so I like it. I like
Megan is great. Megan Thee Stallion.
I do love her too.
I love Megan. Well, I feel like she has an old school flow.
No, she does.
Okay,
she does.
Okay, yeah, great. Foxy, I love that. Lil Kim. I really love that. What I'm not done with this week, I just watched Tyler Perry's new documentary on Prime. It's like, it's called Somebody's Baby. I forgot. But anyway.
Did you like it?
Here's the thing. I don't fuck with Tyler Perry because my mama like him, right? And I was like, oh, this like ghetto shit, like church lady, black old lady shit.
Madea.
Right. But after watching the documentary, his story is so inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I had no idea about the trauma of his childhood.
Bad.
And like, granted, we do, in the black community, we don't like him because we think he has negative, like, kind of depictions of African-American women.
That's right.
But it's based off his life. And, like, I just have a new appreciation for Tyler Perry. So that's kind of, like, what I'm done with.
Right, right. No, I get that.
So that's so interesting. Thank you so much, Sherry. It's been amazing talking to you.
No, thank you. I'm grateful for you. Like I said, you, Priya, and Gilberto.
Yeah.
That's my boy. I don't want to mispronounce his name. You were the first three that I met in comedy that I really liked.
Aww.
That I was like, I vibe with these people. Like, I fuck with them, you know?
Aww,
like,
happy so. To hear that.
You're just always so busy. I can't catch you in these comedy streets.
I am a busy bitch.
But I'm going to start hunting you down again.
I do be outside, so I'll be around. Yeah. My calendar's up, kind of. But anyway.
No, for real. Thank you for having me. Thank you for bring me to this legit studio. You're a great producer.
Thank you.
She smells good too.
This has been another episode of We're Done Here. Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh.